you feel blessed about?
That I have a family to care.
Amen. A family to care for you. All right, come on, give me some others. That we have God with us. I'll just write God with us. You get to stick that on the blessing board. You get feel blessed about anything? It could be, I don't know, you had a good meal today. Somebody gave you a hug. Got some new shoes, got some new clothes. You did great on a test that you didn't really study for, no? No? All right, fellas down here, help me out. That Jesus died for us. And whosoever believes shall have eternal life. So not only did he die for us, but if we believe that he did that for us, not very sticky. You want to put that on the board for me? You have to press real hard there. Not very sticky. Anybody else? Ruby? That you have earth? Okay. Because if we didn't have earth, where would we be? Huh? In space? Do we know what that might be like? There's a lot of aspects of space. But somehow, Earth seems to be where God wants us to be. Little one. You're blessed to know Jesus? Amen. I'm going to add one or two of mine. Come on. You want to put that on the board? Thank you. Press it real hard. Yeah. I'm gonna say I'm blessed to have brothers and a sister and an uncle and an aunt and a sister-in-law, a brother-in-law. Oh, I'm not done yet. Friends at church, a car, two dogs, two cats, one stray cat. I'll stop there. You want to put that on the board for me? I'll hold it while you press it on. I think that's the sticky side. Okay, is that the sticky side? Good. Last go round, what are your blessings? Last call. Think of anything yet? Oh, you're a teacher. And the teacher's in the house? Somebody feels blessed to have you. I like that one. That's a really good one. I got two more stickies, so think about it. Anyone want to? Yes. How many? Four cats and two dogs. I've been outdone. So if I add two cats and a stray and two dogs, you probably won't even notice. So that's four cats and two dogs. Where do you live? What's the address? I can at least give you my stray, but she is a sweetheart. And the last sticky, sorry, you can put yours up here. They're what? They're in Serbia. How cool is that? How cool is that? I'll have to hear that. I know it's not really the greatest sticky thing, but last one. Okay. Well, we'll hold it. Yes. Oh, your dad. Exclamation point. I am so sorry this stuff is not very sticky. Thank you so much for holding up the blessing board. Okay, so God has given us all these things and many more that probably are not on this board, but are in your head or in your heart. So the blessings that God gives us, you don't have to work very hard for, but it's good to know that where they come from. So I want us to say a prayer. Keep these blessings in mind. Think of the blessings that you've had that are coming to you, that you want to be blessed with. You know, good grades, good health, lots of friends, loving family. So think about all of those. And thank you so much. We're going to say a prayer. I'll take that off your hand. And let's say a prayer together. Dear God, as we end this children's story, just watch over these children as they go into the week and give them a blessing to let them know that you are here, you are with them, and that you love them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So we're going to listen to special music, and then those that are a certain age can go back to children's church.
You gave me a drawer in your kitchen. You gave me a room with a view of the yard, wherever the hurt, you knew right where to kiss it. You gave me the best of your heart, and you carried my rocks in your pocket, flowers and feathers and butterfly wings. You had an answer for all of my questions. You showed me wonderful things. I know that it hasn't been easy. I hope that I love like you do, 'cause I know that this world would be better if everyone had a mother like you. You make the best macaroni. We never cared that it came from a box. The mom in the stands always clapping her hands, started cheering, still haven't stopped. And you held me when I came home crying, 'cause someone said something that just wasn't true. I always said that Janelle was my best friend. Really, it's always been you. I know that I haven't been easy. I hope that I love like you do, 'cause I know that this world would be better if everyone had a mother like you.
Wow, that's a beautiful song. I am melting. with tears, flowers, butterflies, wings. The joy in the kitchen, it said it all. Our scripture reading today is from Isaiah 66:13. As a mother comfort her child, so I will comfort you. You shall be comfort in Jerusalem. This is God's holy word.
Shall we unite in prayer? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer, the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen. Well, we are here to worship God today. We are here to encourage one another. But on this particular Sunday, we're also here to honor and celebrate our mothers. Mother's Day is celebrated in various forms all over the world. But our particular celebration began in a very inauspicious way. And I think many of you are familiar with the story. The celebration dates back to 1908. In that year, one woman in Grafton, West Virginia, by the name of Anna Jarvis, decided to observe her own mother's memorial publicly. And eventually caught on. People wanted to start celebrating their moms publicly, so much so that in 1914, Woodrow Wilson signed into law that on the second Sunday of May each year, mothers would be celebrated. Now, many of you already know that story, but there's an addendum to the story you may not know. Even though Anna Jarvis initiated Mother's Day, she also tried to end Mother's Day because she realized that it was becoming too over-commercialized, that people and profits and businesses and companies wanted to use this day to make a profit. How very American. Politicians used Mother's Day to get votes at that time. And Anna Jarvis saw all of this as counterintuitive to what she was trying to do to honor moms, so she tried to have the day canceled. Clearly that didn't work, and we're glad it didn't. Did you know that in our day, Mother's Day is the third most popular holiday of the year? Christmas, Easter, than Mother's Day. And it's estimated that $14 billion is spent on Mother's Day annually. More phone calls are placed on this day than any other. Something like 122 billion calls in a single day. It's the busiest day of the year for restaurants, people either eating in or eating out. About 25% of all the flowers that are sold in a single year are purchased on Mother's Day. Evidently, we haven't quite licked the over-commercialization issue. I remember a story of a little boy, 5 years old. He wanted to make his mother's life easier. And they lived in a very primitive environment, very poor. And he really wanted his mom to know how much he appreciated her. So he went up to his mom and he said, "Mommy, I love you. And when I grow up, I'm going to buy you an electric iron." And I'm going to buy you an electric stove. And I'm going to buy you an electric toaster. And I'm going to buy you an electric chair. You know, we laugh, but this being Mother's Day, I understand that for some this is not the easiest of days. Some people don't look forward to it. We get that. This is my second Mother's Day without my mom, and I'm glad she lived a rich and full life of 95 years, but the pain still there. And I understand there can be pain because of an inability to conceive children thus far, or pain perhaps because of the estrangement of a child, or the loss of a son or a daughter. That may be the darkest pain of all. Well, I want to speak to you today about comfort. The message is from Isaiah. Prophet that has the most chapters, 66, and yet I'm plucking just one verse from those 66 chapters to share a word with you today about a mother's comfort. And Jennifer, I want to assure you that next week there'll be a more substantial scripture lesson. Quick word about context here. These verses were written in the years following the return of the Judean exiles from Babylon to Jerusalem. They were returning to a land that was decimated, to a temple that had been destroyed. And this last chapter of Isaiah speaks about hope for restoration and peace and a new creation. It prophesies the future restoration of Jerusalem, speaks of God's promise of peace and comfort and prosperity, like a child comforted by its mother. God will comfort Jerusalem and God's people. Now, the whole motif of chapter 66 is about motherhood. If you read back a few verses, it's about bearing children and being in labor. And for most of this chapter, it's Jerusalem that is personified as a mother, but when you get to verse 13, the mothering image moves from Jerusalem to God. It's not the city that offers comfort, but rather it is God that offers comfort. And God compares God's self to a mother. Now, that may come as a surprise to some here to think of God having maternal attributes. But maternal metaphors, in fact, are often found in the scripture, and many people will argue for a theology that includes both a heavenly father and a heavenly mother. But the point here is that God comforts like a mother comforts her child. And to those returning from exile, these must have been incredibly welcoming words. Now, of course, fathers can and do provide comfort for their children as well. I have many, many times. I remember the night that my eldest son fell on a bee's nest. The day my youngest son fell off the top of the car. A lot of comforting going on in our home. And fathers here can relate, I'm sure. But generally speaking, children do seem to go running to their mothers when they need comfort or consolation and a hug and a kiss and a Band-Aid, and they're on their way. But in this text, God promises comfort not to children but to adults. And the issues are, of course, when we're talking about adults, more complex and difficult. Very often there's the pain of loss. There's worry. There's loneliness. There's depression. Addiction, divorce, you name it. Sometimes we may just long for the presence and the comfort we once have received from a parent. And the good news is that God, just like our mothers or fathers, is there to comfort. And comfort is a recurring theme in the scripture. God says, "Comfort, comfort my people." The psalmist says, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And there are so many more. But how does that comfort happen? How does it come to us? Very often, in fact, maybe most often, it comes through the care and the love and the encouragement and the presence of brothers and sisters in Christ. As I wrote in a recent newsletter column, encouragement is something that we can all do. Comforting is something that we can all do. And if ever a world needed encouragement, it is this world. Protests in the streets, ongoing military conflicts, political and social division that is reaching toxic levels, racism, child and adult trafficking, fentanyl continues to take the lives of our youth, and all of this before we even get around to speaking about cancer or Alzheimer's or depression. The promise is that God comforts, but how does God comfort? As I say, in my experience, God comforts when somebody brings that comfort to us. And we've all experienced that, haven't we? We have a loss and an illness, and what do you know? Somebody, some knowing, loving, caring, giving people show up with hugs and casseroles and prayers and handshakes to do what? To comfort us. To remind us that whatever it is that we're going through, we're not going through it alone. They may not resolve the issue for us, but it's the presence that it's important. And sometimes they give us just enough strength and just enough encouragement and just enough love for us to find our way through that troubling situation. A comfort comes when someone brings it to us. One commentary suggested that God's comfort also comes sometimes through prayer. That when we're praying, maybe it's a particularly troubling time in our lives, and suddenly we feel a spirit of calm, a spirit of peace come over us. Sometimes comfort can come through a particular scripture verse or passage that kind of jumps out at us while we're reading. It may be a passage that we've read hundreds of times before, and suddenly it's just chock full of new meaning for our situation at that time. Maybe God's comfort comes just through a quiet inner assurance, a blessed assurance. Reverend Patrick Jackson is a pastor from Missouri, and he pointed us to a book by Henri Nouwen called The Return of the Prodigal Son, a meditation on fathers, brothers, and sons. And on the cover of that book is a photo of Rembrandt's oil painting called The Return of the Prodigal Son. And I've asked Dave to put that up on the screen for us. There it is. I have a lot of Nouwen's books on my shelf, but not this one. But I wanted to share this picture with you because Nouwen has written beautifully about how he spent hours and hours and hours staring at that painting. A painting of the prodigal son being welcomed home by his father. And it struck Nouwen that the father is holding the son close against him. And it also struck him that the two hands of the father holding his son were different. It will be hard for you to see maybe from there, but the two hands are different. One is coarser and thicker than the other, while the other is more slender and more delicate. And for Naaman, that represented the masculine and the feminine aspects of God, welcoming the son home, cradling the son in his, her arms. We give thanks today for a God who, with all the love of a father and mother, and through brothers and sisters in Christ, comforts us, encourages us, helps us rebuild broken lives, and always, always welcomes us home. And we give thanks for our moms who have been a reflection of God's love and comfort for us. Amen. Will you pray with me? Loving and gracious and comforting God, we give thanks today that you so often use mothers and fathers as your instruments of comfort and healing and hope and love. May we in turn be conduits of that same comfort, healing, hope, and love to those around us through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Today we're going to sing a song, Would You Bless Our Homes and Families? The hymn tune is very familiar to you. Please stand and join us as we sing. The organ was off, so we're giving it a second tone though. Okay, are you ready?
Clap on.
Yes, we're ready.
Will you bow for the benediction? Now pardoned by God's abounding grace, empowered by God's constant love, protected by God's peace, let us go forth to serve God and others, always humbly aware of our own shortcomings, but always encouraged by the faithful and loving presence of God in Christ Jesus, to whom be glory and power now and forever. Amen.
We forgot to mention earlier today that there are carnations that are available for all of the mothers. People who have a mother, please take one from the back table or here in the front table to celebrate Mother's Day.